This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. The program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and a big program forthcoming. Second to last weekend of full slate of NFL action, and we will pop out some props for sure. We've got 11, we've got 10 plus a best bet, and I've got some touchdown props. And unfortunately, it is not a good start to the week. Let's just say it like that. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. The program is always being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. Well, let's get into it, because that was the worst day we've ever had in the history of this program, quite frankly. And it wasn't even that bad. We were close on a lot. So let's recap. Let's start with the Cowboys and the Commander. So number one, Dallas ran for 211 yards. So we figured Javonte Williams could get 75, and he was well on his way. He got hurt. There's an L. George Pickens, as predicted and as expected, led them in receiving, or at least he led CeeDee Lamb in receiving. It was a Pickens game as relates to CeeDee Lamb. Of course, Kevontae Turpin's 86-yard bomb touchdown, big plays kill props, and we lost the Georgie prop by one damn yard. But that's just the beginning. Let's get into the next game. Any other thoughts here on those games real quick before we move on? I actually, for what it's worth, after we signed off, I did warm up to a Debo prop, which I did play at fantasypoints.com, which did emerge victorious. You know, Josh Johnson wasn't that bad, but, you know, Terry McLaurin even got 5 for 63. Wasn't that bad. And if I knew that Chris Rodriguez was going to miss the game, I would have definitely been in on Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, but unfortunately we did not know that. Yeah, that's about it. Another quiet day for, man, Jake Ferguson. I mean, this weekend and last week too, in terms of the fantasy playoffs, it's like, oh, you got Jake Ferguson as a tight end one. Well, here's 1.6 points for the ship, basically. Good luck. Moving on to the Lions and the Vikings. I was really, really feeling good about David Montgomery over 31.5, over 32.5. To my point, he did get 10 carries, and he was more efficient on the ground than Jahmyr Gibbs. But the Lions turned the ball over 6 times. I mean, you can't make it up. I don't even know what else to say. Max Brosmer, and by the way, it is Brosmer. I don't even know why I was had a mental block on that. I was going Brosmer all the time. No, it actually is Brosmer, but he's not really our bro because he didn't get it done here with only 51 yards. Yet, the Vikings still emerge victorious. Unbelievable. We got the Aaron Jones prop correct. My God, it's like we had to get an injury for that to happen. He got hurt and then he came back. It's like I can only laugh because the alternative is in fact crying. Jared Goff, 3 fumbles, lost them all. Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled, lost it. Goff throws 2 picks. I mean, it's unbelievable. Jared, if you only fumble and lose 2, we probably win the prop. Or if you only threw 1 interception, or if you only had, let's say, 2 turnovers as opposed to 4, we probably win that prop. But also, Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, you want to talk about the fantasy playoffs. This is not good. Jahmyr Gibbs in the ship got you like 7 points. I mean, that is absolute brutality, as J-Mo Williams also comes up small. I didn't like that matchup. Didn't go with it. I did tell someone very close to me last night, right before the kickoff, I'm like, you know what? Bench Justin Jefferson for DJ Moore, and Jefferson only got 4 for 30. Just an absolute disaster. But it's also a little annoying as a longtime Vikings fan. It's like, think about this. Think about how crazy this is. Vikings win 14 games last year. This exact time, they were basically heading into week 18 with a chance for the number one overall seed and everything. So what happened? Defense fell apart. The Vikings lost three games all last year, two to the Detroit Lions. So this year, of course, nightmare season as you're breaking your young quarterback. And what happened? They swept the Lions, knocked them out of the playoffs. Unbelievable. And last but not least, this one here was as bad as it gets. You have both starting corners out for the Chiefs. They're on life support. They only threw for 66 yards. And this is your number one seed in the AFC. They barely won. I was watching the game. I actually turned it off out of spite two plays before the end of the game as they had a chance to tie it. I'm like, this, it's not happening. So I turned it off, and it didn't. Unbelievable. Where do we start? Well, Courtland Sutton dropped a couple of balls in which if he caught them, he would have hit his prop. And Bo Nix, I believe, would have hit his as well. R.J. Harvey did get 14 carries. They were in control. They could not run the ball a lick. Just an absolute disaster weekend. What else can I say? I mean, not much else to say. The Thursday night special, or the Thursday special, David Montgomery, that probably would have happened. We needed 50 yards. I think that had a good chance if they don't turn the ball over six times. The Javonte Williams special was 100-plus rushing yards at plus 240. That's a lock if he doesn't get hurt. And then Evan Engram. Oh, by the way, Evan Engram, we lost that prop too. He did have four catches, for God's sakes. It's unbelievable. For 21 yards, 5.3 yards per reception. Well, I said it on the program show, The League, 15 years ago, season 2, episode 10, I said, and I quote, Sean Payton is evil for fantasy football. And a decade and a half later, he's still evil. But that's fine because we'll make it up. We've got the props here. And it often happens when I get off to a really good start, then it goes downhill and vice versa. So long story short, we are due. Let's take a look at the key injuries that I have isolated that I am waiting to keep an eye on, because obviously a lot of important stuff here. Lamar Jackson, he's doubtful, so we're probably not going to go there. Josh Jacobs, it is a pretty good matchup if he can go. I still don't know about the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, so that's also a problem. We're making picks, you know, a little early in the day without knowing the full extent of these injuries. But in Seattle, both tackles are hurt. I did consider a Sam Darnold prop, but we're not going to go there. TJ Watt, limited all week. We'll see about that. Tristan Wirfs out of practice. We'll see about that. Aaron Brewer, starting center for the Dolphins, out of practice. Maybe that's why we lost that Devon Achane prop by a yard last week. Marvin Harrison's been limited, so we'll see about that. Noah Fant was limited. If he's out, I absolutely like Mike Gesicki in this game. New England Patriots have a bunch of guys banged up. Kayshon Boutte, Travion Henderson, of course. Certainly Ramondre looking good. Matt Collins out of practice. I don't know what the deal is, but if he's out, that would help. If him and Boutte are out, then woo, we feel a lot better all of a sudden about Stephon Diggs. That is for sure. Mason Taylor out of practice. I think, yeah, he's just been ruled out. As we're getting information coming down the line here, A.J. Brown has not practiced until today. He was seen practicing today, but more on the Eagles later on in the program. Travion Henderson, seen without a non-contact jersey, so maybe he does, in fact, go. George Kittle will likely be a game-time decision. We are in on a prop for the Niner passing attack. Spoiler alert, no Minka Fitzpatrick against the Bucks. That helps. They need all the help they can get. Buda Baker out against the Bengals. That is the second highest total on the board. Actually, that's the first total. That's 53. So we're loving that one. We are in on two receiving props, by the way, in that game. Josh Allen will play per the head coach, Sean McDermott. And Mason Taylor ruled out. Let's see what else we have. A couple of more things of note. A lot of dudes out of practice, and then all of a sudden they practice, and then we're good. They practice on a Friday, then we're good. So you worry Wednesday, Thursday, and like, oh, full practice Friday, we're okay. I think this is a little low-key one. Bernard Raimann. Full practice. He is the left tackle for the Colts. Spoiler alert. When in doubt, when I'm on the struggle bus, I need help. Who am I going to look to? I'm looking to a 44-year-old grandfather because he doesn't stink at reading defenses like most of these other quarterbacks do. So, spoiler alert, I'm in on two overs on the Indianapolis Colts. What else do we have here? Oh, Lane Johnson. I don't think it looks very good for him. But remember, we were in on the Barkley prop earlier in the week. Ricky Pearsall, I think he could go. He is limited. Dalton Kincaid, probably not going to play. He's been out of practice, as has Dawson Knox. Jordan Poyer, he's been out of practice. That would help Philly if he's out. On the other side there, they are going to likely get Jalen Carter back. He has been a full participant. So that, not great news for James Cook, but Philly's run defense has been suspect for sure. When we return, we're going to start popping out the propage and starting with some touchdown props, and then we'll talk DFS with Scott Barrett of FantasyPoints.com. But first, if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season, VSiN's Holiday Special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from bowl season and the NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll get a college football betting guide featuring expert player brackets, power rankings, college football and bowl bets, and access to game previews for every bowl game on VSiN.com. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Some propage for week 17 coming at you next here on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and we're going to get right into some props here because if you missed the first segment, what a disaster. Yesterday was pretty good calls overall, but the NFL yesterday is like, nah, it's not happening for you. I do feel bad for Lions fans out there. I mean, I did come on here and state early in the season that the Lions were in big trouble. And I was feeling it. And that was part of my analysis with my affinity for the Vikings. Unbelievable. They sweep the Lions. Knock them out of the playoffs. Incredible. Just incredible. Anywho, I'll be over that in 3, 2, 1. Over it. All right. Let's get into some touchdown props here for week 17. A couple of these, well, I'll get into it. The first one I'm doing in lieu of a rushing prop because I can't find one for Jalen Warren for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I'm in on a touchdown at plus 250. The Browns are a top five. You know, here's all the analysis I wrote out because I really wanted to play his yardage prop, but I don't see a total here. But anywho, I like this prop though. I mean, this is a very good odds for a starting running back, basically. Went off last week. The Browns, a top six run funnel. They're giving up the fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the running game only the last 5 weeks. They're more vulnerable on the man gap runs over that span the last 5 weeks, giving up only 3.74 yards per carry on those zone runs. Jalen Warren has a 69% success rate on those runs the last 5 weeks. That is the third best. Warren played 51% of the snaps last week, as did Gainwell, but he led Did Warren in carry share. He dropped 14 carries for $1.43. I think he's looking at 15-plus carries with a good schematic matchup and with Kenny Gainwell not having a good schematic matchup on the ground. And also in the passing attack, Kenny Gainwell, his yards per route run drops significantly against man coverage, which they run a lot. So I think it's going to be a Jalen Warren game. He had 11 carries for 52 yards, 4.7 yards per carry in the first matchup last time out. So like that one there. Parker Washington, boy, everyone's looking good for the Jaguars. So it is a little difficult. I mean, Jacoby Myers, Brenton Strange, but I'm going to go with Parker Washington anytime touchdown because it's got the best odds at plus 235. The Colts have been a top five pass funnel in the NFL by pass rate over expectation. And they have surrendered the third most passing yards per game in their games without Sauce Gardner. They rank as the fourth worst team in pressure rate and third worst in pressure rate over expectation, which is huge for Trevor Lawrence. And when he's kept clean, Parker Washington sees a 50% boost to his targets per route run. It's also a good schematic matchup for Parker Washington. Indy uses cover three and cover one about half the time, and he averages a very good 2.05 yards per route run against those coverages. The Colts give up the second most receiving yards and the fifth most yards per route run to slot receivers, along with the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to receivers inside the last 5 weeks. So it would be very hard for Parker Washington to look much better than he looks in this game. Darren Waller, anytime touchdown at plus 245. Now, I know he was limited to open the practice week. And by the way, I'm very diligent about, if you have any playing time issue, you're out. If you're hurt, really, you're out. Maybe in this case, I'll make a slight exception because he was listed as a DNP, did not practice on Wednesday, but one of the reasons was rest. So he had a full go yesterday, and we are trending toward a return. I'm surprised at his prop number, by the way. It's pretty darn low, and it's a damn good schematic matchup here. The Buccaneers use cover three and cover four 52% of the time. He's at 1.55 yards per route run, which is okay. But here's the most important stuff. The Bucs are the league's third biggest pass funnel, plus 4.2%. They have allowed the most scheduled adjusted fantasy points per game to tight ends over the last 5 weeks. They blitz at a top five rate, and Waller gets a 39% boost to his yards per route run against the blitz. Tampa gives up the 12th most receiving yards, second most receiving touchdowns per game to tight ends. Kyle Pitts absolutely destroyed them 2 weeks ago, and over the last four games, the Bucs have allowed 369 receiving yards and five tutties to tight ends. So I think we're going to get there with Darren Waller, and more on Waller, spoiler alert, later on in the program. Also, Zay Flowers at plus 370. More on Zay Flowers in a moment. And then also Mike Gesicki. I think I'm going to go here. I know it's a little risky. Noah Fant is limited, but this is the highest total on the board. And Arizona gives up the sixth most receiving yards and the sixth most receptions per game to tight ends. Kyle Pitts ripped them for 7 for 57 last week. So I do like Gesicki. It's the last one on the list there. It is the one I feel the least amount of confidence in. But you know what? Let me cover two more props real quick that we'll pop out the rest at the end of the program. But I've already talked about two players that I'm in on in terms of their yardage prop. And one of them is Mr. Zay Flowers. Let's start there. I am all in here, over 45.5. That's minus 115 at BetMGM. The Packers deploy the highest rate of zone coverage in football at 80%. Zay Flowers has a fat 2.45 yard per route run number against zone. Green Bay gives up the ninth most receiving yards and the fifth most receptions per game to outside receivers. And over the last 5 weeks, They give up the fifth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lining up at right wide receiver. It's worth plus 4.7 points, which could be 47 yards, which is this prop. It's all we need is 46 to get here. It's the same matchup that DJ Moore crushed last week, five grabs for 97 with a touchdown. And yes, it is Tyler Huntley, but it is worth noting that in Huntley's lone start this year, Flowers had seven grabs for 63 on nine targets with a long of 20. So I'm still in on that. And also, let's pop out at least one more here. The Darren Waller prop. We're kind of all in on Darren Waller. And maybe we're getting tricked here, quite frankly, because this number is so low. 24.5, like literally could get this on one catch. And again, on the injury report, DNP on Wednesday, one of the reasons was rest, which is code for old. And then he had a full practice on Thursday. So we're certainly trending toward playing and suiting up. Darren Waller over 24.5 seems too good to be true, but let's get into it. The Bucs use cover three, cover four. Like I said, 50% of the time, not the greatest schematic matchup, but they are a pass funnel. They have allowed the most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to tight ends. And that number is worth plus 9.4. I mean, you could argue that's 94 yards right there. So in other words, if you're averaging 10, now you're looking at 104 because if you're averaging 10, now you're going to get 100 basically when you play them. Sorry. If you average 10 plus 9.4, now you're going to get like 100. All right, there it is. They got crushed by Kyle Pitts. They are giving up the second most receiving touchdowns per game and the 12th most receiving yards per game. And over the last four games, as I mentioned, it's just a ridiculous number. I'm going to say it twice. Over the last four games, the Bucs have allowed 269 receiving yards and five touchdowns to tight ends, which is absolutely absurd. Scott Barrett is never absurd. He will be joining us on the other side to pop out some DFS picks for week 17. He is in for Jake Tribby, a little under the weather today. And of course, in the final segment, I will pop out the rest of the props that I'm in on for week 17, along with a best bet for the week. We got to win this week. We are due. But first, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus save 50% site-wide when you shop omahasteaks.com/VSiN. From legendary steaks to crowd-pleasing appetizers, Omaha Steaks makes game day easy and delicious. Don't wait. Get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. That is omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. On the other side, Scott Barrett is in on someone I'm also very, very in on as well. Actually, multiple dudes. So hang tight. Scott Barrett with some DFS recos for week 17 coming up next here on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com and from the aforementioned website on the Progressive Guest Line. It is Scott Barrett, CEO of fantasypoints.com. Very fancy title. He's on the X machine at Scott Barrett DFB. And he's in for our guy, Jake Tribby. He's been crushing it on the DFS calls, but I'm sure Scott, you mentored Jake Tribby. So we're getting the good stuff. How are you? Happy holidays.
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it because I am very in on your number one DFS pick here, and it's a quarterback. I don't know, maybe you're just going by position here. It's the number one quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. I challenge you to find something negative about Trevor Lawrence right now as it relates to this matchup, but what do you see there with him?
Well, the negative is that he underwhelmed his first 70 starts. I was a big Trevor Lawrence hater, but something happened in that Titans game. I'm like, whoa, Trevor Lawrence looked great. He had almost a perfect pass rating in the first half of that game. That had never happened. The next week, he looked even better. You had Mina Kimes asking if that was the best game he'd ever played. And then going absolutely nuclear from a fantasy perspective ever since then. Since week 12, 29 fantasy points per game. That's 5.5 more than any other quarterback. 10 touchdowns over his last two games. And so, yeah, this is an amazing matchup up against the Colts, you know, with or without Sauce Gardner. This is a great matchup. They just gave up 5 passing touchdowns to Brock Purdy. It's also an elite schematic matchup. Lawrence really does a lot better against defenses that struggle to bring home the pressure. And the Colts certainly qualify. So this is your chalky cash game quarterback play of the week. If you're fairly risk averse, just lock in Trevor Lawrence, stack him up with Jacoby Myers and or Parker Washington would be my suggestion.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't pick between those two. I do like Parker just a little bit more. It is weird with Lawrence, by the way. He was actually on my target list, and we have a top 200 cheat sheet over at fantasypoints.com. I went back, I looked, I ranked him like 30 spots over his ADP, but I can't brag about it or anything. It's not like I said anything, but that is absolutely the case. And I just thought that Liam Cohen is maybe he's a whisperer of offense, basically offensive line whisperer, running game whisperer, and by association quarterback whisperer. Well, let's move on to your off the wall play, a little Michael Jackson reference. There's a reference for the kids. That album came out in 1979. But what do you have on Jackson Dart for your off the wall play?
Yeah, well, he was just incredible up until last week, where it kind of looked like they didn't really try. And, you know, it was the worst possible matchup. But before that, Jackson Dart was averaging 25 fantasy points per game over his previous 6 full games. He had finished as a top 12 fantasy quarterback in every start. And we know, you know, he has a tendency to run, and that is a potent fantasy cheat code. Will he run this week? He had this sort of, you know, press conference, and they asked him about it because it was, you know, a narrative in New York that he wasn't being set up for success and whatnot. And he smiled and said, you know, I'm really excited for what's going to come this week. So I think there's upside there. And so I like leading into that for large field tournaments. But of course, there is downside risk that, you know, Andrew Thomas might get benched. The Giants might actually be trying to lose this game, lock up the 101. But for a millie maker play, I don't think it gets much better than Dart here.
Yeah, I mean, that is the ultimate volatile play. I was looking at that too, but I couldn't do it. But it's a little different than a prop and DFS and all that. But let's get to a running back that I am certainly enamored with. There's a lot of good data with Ashton Jeanty, and we have the old eyeball check, and he looked absolutely incredible last week. And speaking of incredible, this matchup, it is quite incredible. What do you see there?
Yeah, it's the best possible matchup. And the thing about Jeanty is we know he's a really talented running back. That's why he went so early in the draft. He's been saddled with league worst levels of offensive line play, bad game script, and a really difficult strength of schedule this season. But the Giants are the worst defense by adjusted yards before contact per attempt. The second worst defense is the Bears. Those are the only bottom 10 defenses Jeanty has faced. And we all remember against the Bears, he exploded for 6.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, 155 yards from scrimmage. So I think there's a really good chance that happens this week. Also gets a 25% XFP boost in victories. But looking at the ownership, I'm seeing 65%, 60%. So he might be a fade for tournaments, but certainly for cash, he's a player you want to lock in.
Raheem Mostert banged up too, for what it's worth. That could help him out here. Talking with Scott Barrett of fantasypoints.com on the X machine at Scott Barrett DFB, one of the best follows on Twitter for football analytics information. By the way, I'm shocked you're not following him already. Let's move on here to Chris Olave. And boy, it's been a fantasy football bonanza for Olave, who is all of a sudden he has found durability like big time. And Tyler Shuck is balling, and the Titans, they're not good on the back end. A little bit of a pass funnel. What do you see with Olave?
Yeah, well, it's a nearly best possible matchup on paper. And then with Olave, you have, you know, sometimes you have seasons within seasons. Through the first 10 weeks of the year, he was behind only Jamar Chase in XFP. He was top 10 in fantasy points. And then he had this Devon Vealey breakout, and he sort of took a backseat. But in late in the third quarter, 2 weeks ago, Vealey goes down. And in the five quarters of football play since then, Olave has 23 targets, 15 catches, 226 yards, and three touchdowns. And so in this matchup, this is certainly going to be this is one of the best plays on paper. This is going to be one of the chalkiest plays of the slate, and I have a difficult time fading it personally.
I got to give you your flowers for your – I got to give you your Zay Flowers for your Exodia pick of the summer. You have all the people over at fantasypoints.com, your followers and your fans, your enthusiasts, they're all on the edge of their seat waiting to find out. And I know you were deliberating about it. You were kicking the tires on Justin Herbert, which would have been a pretty good call, but you opted for Drake May, who is currently the QB3 in scoring, and you like him this week here. A little chalky, but what do you see with May?
Yeah, so I think there's some volatility here, but I like leaning into a narrative that I haven't heard other people talk about. That's that he's second in MVP voting. He's really not too far behind Matthew Stafford. And I wonder if they just let May go crazy this week to give him the edge over Stafford. Something like a 5-touchdown game maybe could be enough. Yeah. We saw this week 17 of 2023 with Lamar Jackson against the Dolphins. That game was over after the first quarter, but Lamar Jackson still throwing up to 5 touchdown passes late into the game. But even without that narrative, it's the second highest implied point total of the slate. He's been awesome. He's coming off of his best game of the season. So Drake May at 6,800. I think that's a good value.
And then last but not least, say it isn't so. Trey McBride with the best tight end matchup in the history of Western civilization, yet you are pivoting. Now, granted, I'm kidding a little bit. It's an off-the-wall play. Elijah Higgins, who usurped him, McBride, last week. So I guess that's it, right? Best matchup possible?
So let me just preface this by saying no one else on staff agrees with me here. And part of why I'm recommending him is because Michael Mayer, 2,500, is one of the best plays of the slate. No Brock Bowers. When Bowers was out, he had an 80% route share, 24% target share, 2,500, best tight end value. Next best tight end play, certainly the best one with a ceiling, is Trey McBride, who's outproducing any wide receiver not named JSN or Puka Nacua. He's having one of the best tight end seasons ever. Gets a Bengals defense that is giving up more fantasy points per game to tight ends than we've seen from any other defense in over 10 years. Leverage off of both of those plays, because he's the same price as Michael Mayer, because he's on the same team as Trey McBride, is Elijah Higgins, who had a 76% route share last week. Team high, season high, 8 targets for 91 yards and a touchdown. And this is the same bad matchup. Bengals giving up a lot of fantasy points to tight end twos on top of tight end one. So sneaky, sneaky play there. But yeah, I do like Trey McBride, of course.
Yeah. Plus we'll get a little DJ Turner out there, potentially erasing someone on the outside. So maybe, yeah, more inside. Scott Barrett on the X Machine at Scott Barrett DFB. Great stuff. Thanks for checking in, Scott. Happy holidays to you and yours. And when we return, my official picks for Sunday's action here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on a Friday. Breaking news. Not that it's that urgent, but the New England Patriots, per Michael Cohen, have ruled out Mac Hollins and also Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, Kayshon Boutte. So, yeah, that would be not great for Drake May, but certainly would be good for Stephon Diggs. You know, Mac Hollins, he's not going to play, so that is good for Diggs and a little Hunter Henry action. But let's get into what I have on the board here. Now, I think, I know on Tuesday I did want to get in on this prop at a lower number, but you know what? Screw it. I'll go in on it right now on today's pricing. Saquon Barkley over 81.5 minus 114 on FanDuel. And look, I understand Philly technically may not have a ton to play for, but Nick Sirianni said, quote, "I'm playing my guys." So I do believe him. And Barkley has been rolling, and the matchup couldn't be any better. Buffalo gives up the third most adjusted yards before contact, the fourth most yards before or yards per game, third most scheduled adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing running backs in the last 5 weeks. They are the NFL's most extreme run funnel, basically. So it's a perfect spot with a close 1.5 spread against a Bills team strong enough to keep the game script, you know, in Barkley's favor, i.e. keep it close. Opposing RB1s are averaging 25.1 DraftKings fantasy points against the Bills in games they haven't won by multiple scores. So good schematic matchup as well. Buffalo allows 5.44 yards per carry and a 5.8 explosive run rate against zone concept runs. And Barkley's 290 yards on those runs and that span is third most. Tougher matchup for the passing game as well. So I think it'll be Barkley on the ground, you know, with or without Lane Johnson. It'd be great to have Lane Johnson, but I think we can do it without Lane. Next up, I'm going to be a little stubborn here. We lost that Tyler Warren prop by 3-4 yards on Monday, and we should have had the Monday night special. Phil Rivers was very mad at himself because Tyler Warren was wide open for a touchdown and Phil missed him. So I think he's going to make good. And the Jaguars have deployed the fourth highest rate of zone coverage. Warren's yards per route run quadruples against zone compared to man. They run cover 3, cover 6 at a 54% clip. He's a very strong 2.18 yards per route run with a solid 0.23 targets per route run against those coverages. The Jags give up the most receiving yards and the 7th most receptions per game to tight ends. I think he will be very active in a Phillip Rivers-centric game because they're also good against the run. So it's another struggle bus for Jonathan Taylor. And getting left tackle Bernard Raymond back this week, I do believe, will help Warren's chances. We've got a solid 48.5 total expected in the game. Next up, Trey McBride. Yes, we're going for it, even though it's the easiest call of all time. I think the number is pretty doable here at 70.5. since he gives up the most receiving yards per game and the most receptions per game to tight ends. These days, they're only giving up the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to the position over the last 5 weeks. It's still worth a plus 8.6 fantasy points, which could be 80 yards. It would be a disappointment if Trey didn't get 100 here in a good schematic matchup as well against cover 3 and cover 6. He averages over 2 yards per route run. We're going to get Michael Wilson or Marvin Harrison up against DJ Turner, who is an eraser on the outside. Zay Flowers, we did mention him earlier in the program. We're going to go over 45.5 receiving yards. I'm going to double dip a little bit on Indy Colt inside receivers because I trust a 44-year-old grandfather more than I trust like Bo Nix. Josh Downs over 36.5. The Colts roll out cover 3 and cover 6 54% of the time. He's at a workable 1.66 yards per route run against those coverages. The Jags have been most vulnerable to opposing slots. allowing the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to inside receivers. Downs also leads the Colts in air yards against zone coverage with Phil under center, and the Jags lead the NFL in zone snaps over the last 5 weeks. So he's playing more snaps now as well. He's no longer a part-time player. Next up, Ashton Jeanty. Scott Barrett mapped it out pretty well. Over 70.5 rushing yards. The Giants are allowing 5.4 yards per carry since week 10. They have allowed the most adjusted yards before contact, 2.88 of any team. It's absolutely critical for Jeanty. Here's some data. He is averaging 6.8 yards per carry with a 72% success rate when he's afforded even 1 yard per carry before contact. When he's not, which is more often than not, he's only at 3.7 yards per carry. So I do believe we're looking really good. New York giving up the second most rushing yards per game at 121. So we're going to get to 71 yards for sure. Darren Waller, as I mentioned, I'm a little surprised this is so low at 24.5. I had insight on this play in the second segment of the program. I'm going to move on to Juwan Jennings. We won that one on Monday night. Thank you very much. Man didn't even have a target in the first half, and we still hit it at whatever it was. It was close to this number here. 59.5 minus 115, bet MGM. Chicago gives up the ninth fewest receiving yards to outside receivers, but they use cover three and cover two 51% of the time. Jennings is a solid 1.74 yards per route run against those coverages. Chicago is giving up the sixth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to wideouts lined up at left wide receiver the last 5 weeks. Like Romeo Doubs last week, they had no answer for him. George Kittle, very iffy. Ricky Pearsall, no lock. So I think Jennings will be needed. He'll see a lot of Nashawn Wright, who is beatable. Oh, and by the way, Jennings roasted them for 2 touchdowns, 7 grabs for 90 yards last year. T. Higgins. It's a little scary, but he's off the injury report. 55.5. I'm going to go for it here. Arizona gives up the fewest receiving touchdowns and the 16th fewest yards per route run to outside receivers. However, they use cover four at the NFL's highest rate at 26%. And over the past 2 years, T. Higgins has seen a 17% increase to his targets per route run against the shell compared to other shells. And he sees, this is most importantly, a massive 56% boost to his yards per route run against the shell. Higgins also commanded 52% of the Bengals' air yards with an 18-yard A-dot against cover four. So his chances of making a bigger play increase this week. We've got the highest total on the board at 53, and he's not even on the injury report. And then we'll also do Devontae Smith, a.k.a. Skinny Batman. We've got 11 total here. We got to make up some ground from a craptastic Christmas Day. Devontae Smith, over 46.5 receiving yards, minus 114 on FanDuel. Buffalo gives up the fourth fewest receptions per game to outside receivers. They use two high looks at a second high rate, and that look is worth a 44% drop to A.J. Brown's yards per route run. Devontae Smith is at 1.99 against two high safeties, so, and he's inside. So it's a better schematic matchup and a better individual matchup for Devontae Smith. They give up the 13th most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to slot receivers the last 5 weeks. So we have one more prop to pop out. It is the best bet for week 17. Oh, we better hit this puppy because we're in a little bit of a slump. We're still doing very well, though. I think we're like 10-5 or 10-6, maybe 12-5. I can't even remember. It's good. Trust me. Stay tuned to VSiN after Prop Points for Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. Mike Palm checks in from Circus Sports, and Will Hill shares his sharpest sides. Zach Cohen breaks down the NFL and NBA betting opportunities heading into the weekend. And the best bet is, in fact, Trevor Lawrence, over 235 passing yards, minus 111. What happened was I was conflicted. I really liked Jacoby Myers, who gets a big boost to his yards per route run when the quarterback is not pressured. I really like Parker Washington, who also gets a big boost when the quarterback is impressed, and Brenton Strange. They rank fourth worst in pressure rate, third worst in pressure rate over expectation. So that is massive for Trevor Lawrence, whose adjusted net yards per attempt more than doubles from 3.51 to 7.37 when kept clean. Indy gives up the third most passing yards per game, and Lawrence looks elite right now. No pass rush, and they're vulnerable on the back end, and Phil Rivers is dealing a little bit, so he'll keep them throwing, so I feel really good about it. Over 235.5. That's all I have for Week 17. Good luck with all the plays. We'll be back on Monday for another edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN.